Luke chapter 7. When you get there, let's stand. Amen. In honor of God's word. You know, one reason I like to have people stand when we read the Bible, I know you can. Now, that way, when I'm preaching, I know if you get happy, you can stand up. Amen. Luke chapter 7. I want to start reading in verse 22. When you get there, say amen. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out to see? What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messengers before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. God, we love you, and we come to you in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word, God. And I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us over the next few minutes, Lord, just to be able, dear God, to bring this message in a way that you would be pleased, God. Have your hand on us right now, God. You lead and you guide, dear Lord, and whatever's done, whatever's said, we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We all know the story. John had been locked up in prison for preaching the word of God. John was a very bold, just like I talked about, you know, before John confronted the king, he went straight to the king. He said, you're living in sin. You're shacked up with your sister-in-law. And that kind of stuff gets you put in jail. Amen. So John is in prison. John gets to be a little bit doubtful of what's going on. John is wondering, Wes, is Jesus really the one? Don't sit here and get all holy on me tonight. You've been there. Amen. You've been there. How many ever doubted your salvation? Raise your hand. That means you doubted Jesus. Amen. We've all done it. But John is, we all know the story of John. He was a Nazarite from birth. I want you to notice something. If I went around this room and asked you, Brother Barry, who's your favorite Bible character? Who would you say? I didn't ask you about John the Baptist. I'm preaching on John the Baptist. Give me somebody else. Peter, who's your favorite Bible character?
James.
Samson. How about it, Melvin? Who's your favorite Bible character?
James.
Grant, who's your favorite Bible character?
Nicodemus.
And everybody, for the most part, now think about it, and I know Brother Barry said it because, and I think he said it just because I'm preaching on it tonight. When we talk about favorite Bible characters, my mind always goes to either Samson or Elijah or somebody like that. Very seldom does your mind go to John the Baptist. But if Jesus said there's never been one born greater than John the Baptist, don't you think we ought to look at him a little closer?
Amen.
Don't you think we ought to live our life? You know, well, Brother Ed, I think, said Peter, you know, and Peter's a good one. Paul's a good one. We pattern our life after Paul. I hear a lot of people say this, I want to live my life like Jesus. Well, you can go ahead and drop that right now because you can't. Amen. You ain't going to live up to Jesus. Like I said, one of my favorite Bible characters is Elijah. Elijah prayed fire down on Mount Carmel. I mean, that's a bad man right there, amen. But then in the next few chapters, we find him running from the evil queen. That's one good thing about Bible characters. Everybody other than Jesus royally had messed up stuff in their life. John the Baptist, we see where John the Baptist doubted, was Jesus really the one? But I got to think about it. Jesus said that John's the greatest. Basically, he said, there ain't ever been one greater than John ever been born a woman. In other words, he said, John the Baptist is up there. Amen. So let's look at John the Baptist's life and compare John the Baptist's life to our life as a Christian. We see John praising the one and true and living God. Amen. Look, now notice that you got to stay with me now. Luke chapter 1 verse 39 says this, "And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judea and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed be the fruit of thy womb. And whence this is to me that the mother of the Lord should come to me, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." We need more praise in our life. John the Baptist is an infant inside of his mother's womb, and he's worshiping and praising Jesus. We need more praise in our life, folks. I mean, we come to God's house, and I'm not knocking everybody tonight. I know we're a little bit tired. I know we're a little bit quiet. But we come to God's house, and God's been so good to us. Amen. And God has blessed us royally and abundantly. And we come in and can't hardly get a holy grunt out of people. We sit here like, I wish this preacher would hurry up. Gun smoke's coming on, and I got to get back to the house. Amen. I'm telling you right now, we need more praise in our life. We need more praise in the church. Amen. We come into God's house and she's singing about the Lord. Sometimes I just want to lift my hands to you. Sometimes I just want to speak your name. We ought to be shouting, amen. And we ought not be praising because the singing's good. And we ought not be praising because the preaching's good. And we ought not be praising because the teaching's good. We ought to be praising because God is good. We ought to be praising because Jesus is good. It ain't got nothing to do with me, amen. It's all about him. But we see John the Baptist praising the one true God. Psalms 100. I'm going to read you this. Some of y'all might need to mark this down in your Bible. Psalms 100. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." It ain't got nothing to do about how you feel. It ain't got nothing to do about how you want to act. It's all to do about who he is and how we're supposed to act when we come in to his presence. Amen. We see John praising. We need more praising in our life. We also see John preparing. Matthew chapter 3 verse 4, "And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey." And I got to think about this, and as I was studying this and praying, I said, "Lord, show me something about how John was preparing, because I don't know how Chucky does, and I don't know how David does, and some of these other guys that speak. I mean, a lot of times, Melvin, the Lord will give me a whole outline of a message, David, and I ain't got no clue how he wants me to preach it. Until I sat down and start studying it. But God gave me this, and it was like I said, the Lord spoke to me. Now look at this. Matthew chapter 18, verse 4 says this, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now understand this. John the Baptist's daddy was a priest in the temple. John the Baptist's daddy, in other words, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but they had means. They were not poor. He had a job in the temple. He had a job that he was well compensated for. So John the Baptist was raised in a home where there was stuff. But what do you see? You see John the Baptist in the wilderness humbling himself. I believe John the Baptist knew there was a call on his life. I believe John knew that there was something that God wanted him to do. And you can't run around with the big dogs, and you can't be patted on the back, and you can't thank you all that and do the work of God. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 23, verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. James chapter 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you'll humble yourself, if we as Christians get more humility in our life and humble ourselves before God, God will lift you up. Amen. We find John running around out there in the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey. He could have been off somewhere else. John was one of them men that could have been serving in the Sanhedrin, David. John could have been a Pharisee. John could have been in the Sadducees. John could have been anything he wanted to be. But he humbled himself. Let me go ahead and tell you something. One of the greatest men to ever live was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament, amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9, Paul says, I am the least of the apostles. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8, Paul said, I am the least of the saints. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, Paul said, I am the foremost or the utmost sinner. You know what's wrong with most of us? We're just too proud. You know why people don't praise? Too proud. Amen. You know why you don't say amen? You're too proud. You know why you don't get up and sing in the choir or sing it? You're too proud. Well, if I get up, I might mess up. Well, guess what? We all mess up. If we get a little more humility in our life, we'd be a whole lot better Christians. Amen? So we see John praising. We see John preparing. We see John preaching. What a preacher. Amen. Y'all probably fire John. Amen. Y'all would probably fire John. Most churches would fire John. They ain't going to have that kind of preacher. I'm talking about a preacher just get in your face and call you out and say you a sinner. Amen. I mean, we see John in Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, this is the religious crowd. When he saw the religious crowd come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of snakes. I didn't say that. That's what John said. That's what I had a preacher friend of mine. Preacher Buddy C was preaching one time, and he said something about this. He said something to this effect. He said, most Christians in church ain't nothing but a bunch of mossy back hypocrites. Another preacher friend of mine got up. He said, Preacher Buddy C called y'all a bunch of mossy back hypocrites. He said, I didn't say that. Preacher Buddy said that. That's how most preachers want to do it. John just come out and said, y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of snakes. Vipers. Y'all, let me tell you something, folks. Mark chapter 16, listen, Mark chapter 16, or Mark chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says this, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold on John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her, for John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Preaching repentance is not popular. Amen. When you come in and you preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, it is not popular. Calling it out by name ain't popular. Oh, saying you shacking up, that ain't popular. Oh, now the word is cohabitating. Bless God, the Bible calls it shacking up. Amen. If you living with somebody and you ain't married, that's shacking up. I don't care what nobody tells you. I don't care. Hey, if you having sex outside the bounds of marriage, that's shacking up. That's a sin. God said it ain't right. Hey, you want to know what safe sex is? Safe sex is sex with a marriage license. Everybody else goes to hell. That kind of preaching ain't popular. That's what John, we see John preaching. I mean, calling out the king and his girlfriend ain't popular. I wonder how many preachers, David, back in the early 60s ever got on TV or ever got behind the pulpit and said, it's unlawful for John Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe to be going together. That kind of preaching ain't popular. I found this little illustration. John Wesley, which was a great Methodist preacher back in the day, amen. He had a Bible college and everything. John Wesley used to ask his young men whom he had sent out to preach on prohibition, two questions. Probation, two questions. Has anyone been converted? And did anyone get mad at you? If the answer was no, he told them that God did not call you to preach. Because when the Holy Ghost convicts of sin, people are either converted or they get mad. Amen? So listen, I told you this before. The Bible says, woe unto them that everybody speaks well of. You got to keep upsetting people just to be right with God. Amen? Some of y'all going to get that tonight and laugh. I'm telling you right now, y'all better wake up. Y'all better wake up. I'm going to have David come by and knock on the pew. Listen. Preaching ain't popular, especially preaching the Word of God. But you got to understand something. I was talking with somebody this week, and I can't remember who it was. Everybody ain't blessed to have a church like this. Every preacher ain't blessed to have a church like this, Brother Robert. I know preachers right now, Brother David, and you do too, that will not get up and preach like I do because they're worried about their job. Amen. And they're worried about the paycheck coming in. And to a certain degree, I understand that to a degree. But when God calls you to preach, you preach the Word. Amen. Let me tell you something. If I preach the Word and you get upset and run me off, guess what? There's somewhere else that God's going to send me. I'm not worried about that. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad that I got a deacon board that backs me. I'm glad that I got a church that backs me. I'm glad I got a church that loves the Word of God. Amen. I'm glad that I got a church that where you come in, you preach the Word of God. If it convicts, they get on the altar and get things right. Amen. If it don't, they have to ponder that. But I believe after a while, it gets on them because I've tried to prove over the years that I love you. I've tried to prove over the years that I want the best for you. And when I preach what I do, it's because I do love you and I believe you love me. And that's why we have a good relationship. You love me, you love God, you love the Word of God, and when the Word of God's preached, we let the Holy Ghost take care of it. But we also see John pondering. Here's where it gets real for us. Luke chapter 7, verse 19, and John calling unto him, two of his disciples sent them to Jesus saying, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? John pondered about doubt. How many times have we done that? See, a lot of times we read the Bible and we don't put ourselves in this position. Let me tell you something. I ain't never been locked up for preaching the Word of God. I ain't never had nobody threaten me for preaching the Word of God. I've never had nobody really, really confront me on preaching the Word of God. And they still sometimes tell me I have doubt. Imagine being locked up in jail, Melvin. Now listen, everybody in this pew's had doubts about your salvation, about church, about the Bible, about Jesus, about the Lord. Every last one of us have had doubts. Brianna's been raised in church pretty much. Her daddy's a preacher, and I guarantee you she's had doubts. Heather and Blake have been raised in church their whole life. And I guarantee you they've had doubts. John is in prison. And John is, and let me tell you something. Don't worry about everything going on out there. If John could have just saw what was going on out there, it would have been a whole lot different. But John, just like all of us, John probably was free will Baptist. I've come to that. I believe every one of these Bible characters is free will Baptist because they all messed up. John is in his bubble. You ever get in your bubble? Say amen. I'm preaching real good right now. You ever get in your bubble and all you see is your bubble? I'm in my bubble and I don't care what Melvin's doing. I'm in my bubble. It ain't real good in my bubble. I don't care what's going on in Grant's house. But in my bubble, I can't see nobody else. In my bubble, this is all the trouble. I'm locked up in jail for trying to do what's right. I've been a Christian for 57 years and I've been trying to do what's right. In my bubble, it ain't going like I think it ought to go. But if John could have just saw what was going on. These guys come to Jesus and they said, John wants to know, are you the one? Jesus could have looked at him and said, yes, I am the one. Go back and tell John, I'm the one. But that ain't what he said. He said, go back and tell John that the dead are being raised, that the lepers are being cleansed. Go back and tell John that the blind are seeing. Go back and tell John that the poor are being preached to. In other words, you go back and tell John it ain't all about his bubble. Praise God, get out of your bubble sometimes. I'm telling you right now, if you get out of your bubble and start looking at what God's doing all over this world, hey, that'll make you shout a little bit. Hey, you understand something. This ought to be the most exciting time for the church in church history. Jesus is coming back. Amen. It's all lining up. Quit worrying about your bubble and start looking for Jesus to come back. Don't you know John probably pondered his calling? I've done that. I know y'all don't want to hear that, me being your pastor, but I've done that. David, you ever pondered your calling of being a deacon? Multiple times, I guarantee you. But you know, I got to understand something. All I got to do is listen to Jesus and get out of my bubble and see what's going on around me. Let me tell you, I told y'all I'm the most honest preacher you probably ever had in your life. Over the years, there have been times that I doubted that God want me here. There have been times that I pondered that thought that God really want me to be at liberty. And then I get looking outside of my bubble and I see all the people that God's put here. And people come up and shake your hand and pat you on the back and say, preacher, I love you. And see, sometimes it pays to get out of your bubble and look at what's going on around you. Amen. But we see John pondering, but we also see John promoted. Mark chapter 6, verse 25. We know the story. John's in jail. Herodias' daughter comes, and she's dancing before Herod. And basically, I'll just go ahead and read you the story. Mark chapter 6 says this, and she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, what will thou give me by... Let me back up. And she came straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou would give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake and for their sake which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. Wow. But the Bible does tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You got to understand something. John was a Nazarite from birth. John was a man that lived his whole life for one reason and one reason only, to lift up Jesus. The Bible says that John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. In other words, and John tried to tell everybody, I must decrease while he must increase. It ain't about me. It's all about him. I can just imagine as John is sitting there in prison, he's waiting on these two guys to come back to him. And they come back and say, hey, John, Jesus said to tell you that the blind are seeing, that the dead are being raised. Hey, don't you know John's eyes probably got a little bigger. John's heart probably beat a little faster. I believe the blood started flowing in John again. And John said, hey, he is the one. I ain't wasting my time. And then not too long after that, they come in with an axe, chop his head off, glory to God, and he wakes up in heaven. Amen. It don't get no better than that.
That's good, preacher.
So how does your life compare with John? Are you praising? Are you preparing? Are you pondering? We all going to be promoted if we're saved. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, let me tell you something. This is, to go ahead and squash what Joel Osteen said, this ain't your best life. Amen. Amen. Our best life is yet to come. I believe before John the Baptist's head hit the floor, David, he was in the presence of God. And I believe that for all the saints. Amen. All the saints that we've lost over the last several years, I believe when they took that last breath, they woke up in heaven. Amen. You really believe that, preacher? Yes, I do. Amen. I do. So how does your life compare with John the Baptist? Quit pondering. Quit doubting. Quit thinking about everything that's going wrong on your end and think about everything that's going right on his end. All this is going on in the world. And quit looking at America. America is not God's timepiece. Israel is. And we know the war's going on over there. We know all the conflict going on over there. All this is lining up for Jesus to come back. Amen. Amen. If you would bow your heads with us.